In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the face of God? It is our Lord Jesus who gives us baptism into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus is the head, and the church is his body. And so it is that our Lord Jesus himself is the one who baptizes us. Though he used the hands of a pastor or, in emergency, the hands of any Christian, it is still our Lord Jesus who baptizes us. For baptism is a greater work than any mere mortal can do. At its most simple, baptism is a washing away of sin. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter preached, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." At its most profound, to be baptized into Christ Jesus is to be united with him in his death and his resurrection. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" "Yes," baptism says. "You were nailed to the cross with him. You died with him. You were buried with him. And on the third day, you rose with him. As it is for him, so it is for you." For every Christian. In baptism, we have been made one with the second person of the Holy Trinity. To be baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is to enter into the life of the Holy Trinity. Not that we become God. There is always a distinction between the Creator and His creatures. And yet we are truly one with the Son, and He is one with the Father and the Spirit. This glory given to us staggers the mind. We who are by nature sinful and unclean, we who daily sin against Almighty God in thought, word, and deed, we who daily sin in what we do and in all that we leave undone, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And that is what we are, sons of God, who have been redeemed by the Son of God, who has purchased us not with gold or silver, but with his precious holy blood. In all of heaven, in all of earth, what could be more precious, more valuable than the blood of God? It is the blood of God that has bought you. It is the blood of God that is put to your lips this very day. Cleansed by the blood of God, united with Jesus in his death and resurrection, we have become partakers of God. Or as St. Peter puts it, through the promises of God, you may participate in the divine nature. And the fullness of this participation is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to see Almighty God. So David prays, "My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and see the face of God?" And Job writes, "I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." And Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And in the final chapter of Holy Scripture, we are told, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." This, dear Christian, is the telos, the end of your baptism. It is also the telos, the end of you. I do not mean that you cease to be or that you come to a dead end. In fact, quite the opposite. I mean that here you see why it is that Almighty God has made you. And for what purpose? And for what end? That you will be for all eternity one who beholds his face, and one who wears as an eternal crown nothing less than the holiest of all names. His name will be on their foreheads. A crown first given when you were baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or did you want to be crowned in heaven with gold and silver instead? That's what the streets are paved with. What more precious crown can one imagine than the very crown of God's own holy name? They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. This eternal seeing of God's face is called the beatific vision, the blessed vision that blesses, the true source of all heavenly blessing and joy, the essence of heaven itself. To see and gaze upon the pure, loving, majestic, compassionate face of Almighty God. We glimpse this reality in the angels, and we glimpse it in Jesus himself. Of the angels who watch over our children and us, Jesus says, "They always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Of himself, Jesus said, "Amen, amen. The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing." The beatific vision is not something that passes. It's not as if you will see God and after a little bit turn away and get on with the rest of eternal life. Once one sees God, it is, in a sense, impossible to look away. Precisely because you would never want to look away. In all of heaven, in all of earth, there is nothing better, nothing more beautiful, more interesting, more blessed than to gaze upon the face of God and experience the inner life of the Holy Trinity. In this way, you will become like the angels, like Jesus himself, so that whatever else you may be doing throughout eternity, you will still eternally behold the face of the living God. This is why God made you. Not so much that you may glorify God, but rather that God, in his infinite grace and by the blood of his beloved Son, might glorify you and share himself with you and draw you into everlasting communion and blessedness with him, to see him as he is. This is why he made you. And this is why he is shaping and forming your soul now and in this life, through vocation, through suffering, through fiery trial, through poverty, through tears, by his word and his wisdom, by the holy sacraments, all so that you may receive more of him. As the potter works and expands the clay into a greater vessel, so that your cup will be larger when he makes it to runneth over. As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for thee. For there is none other that will quench, none other that will satisfy. There is none other who can give perfect blessedness and rest for souls until we find our rest, O Lord, in thee. And this is why God in his commandments lays such heavy emphasis on coveting, and why Jesus in his preaching speaks so forcefully against mammon and possessions. Because the truth is, nothing in this world, not even father or mother or husband or wife or children or grandchildren or success or honor or riches or fame, none of it will fulfill you. It's all too little. Your soul was made for God and will find true blessedness only in Him. So David prays, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." To be satisfied, to be enlightened by the one who is true light, and to share in his unspeakable joy. Dear Christian, in wonder and amazement, adore the marvelous compassion of your Savior. Not only does he receive us who were his enemies into his grace, but he also forgives our sins, freely justifies us, brings us into possession of our heavenly inheritance, and makes us like the holy angels, yes, even like unto himself. For you and I shall see God, and not just see him, but experience him with all our senses. For God shall be all in all. Glory be to Jesus, who on the cross closed his eyes in death, so that our eyes might open from death and behold God. Who felt the agony of whip and scourge, nail and thorn in his flesh, so that in our flesh we might know Almighty God. Who smelled and tasted the bitterness of gall and death, so that we might breathe the incense of heaven's temple and be filled at the marriage feast of our God. Who heard the mockery of men and the deafening silence of heaven, so that we might hear angels sing and our Lord himself say words that we do not deserve to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. All this our Lord Jesus has done so that we might hear what ear has not heard and see what eye has not yet seen, to behold God as he is, not through a mirror dimly, but face to face. For now we only know in part, then we shall know even as we are known. And we shall see the face of him who bought us, the face of our Lord Jesus, crowned with the glorious scars of his love. Beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when our Lord is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this infinite love and joy that flows from our Lord's own heart will flow from him to us and from us back to him. How great is the joy of our God, which spreads to all who behold his face, making them joyful. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures, the scriptures say. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. We are brought into the inner depths of God, the inner life of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is the source of all eternal joy, unchanging in his essence, and yet always infinitely new. The joy of God flowing out into all his creatures, archangel and angel, cherubim and seraphim, and heavenly spirits according to their degree of honor, and yes, even to us, for the greatest of God, for the greatness of God, is such that he cherishes even the little ones. And because we are little, he lifts us in his arms and draws us to his heart. You, O God, are light, and in your light we shall see light. we shall see perfectly how you bless us and keep us, how you have always made your face to shine upon us, how you have ever been gracious to us, how you look upon us with favor and give us peace. When shall I come and see the face of God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.